Actually, other Russian mercenary groups were already present in Libya since about 2016, starting ready to support Khalifa Haftar's Libyan National Army. Today, Libya is certainly of critical importance for the Russian military engagement in the whole of Africa. Actually, I would call it's Moscow's gateway to Africa. The air bases in Libya used by the Russian mercenaries, namely Al-Jufrah in the center of the country, Al-Khadim in the northeast, serve also as logistic bases and as a stopover for the heavy transport aircraft, the Ilyushin 76 aircraft, ferrying supply goods to the Russian mercenary contingents further down in Africa, especially to those in Mali, Central African Republic, and Sudan, so those who are involved in combat. And without the possibility of using Libyan air bases, sustaining those military operations in Africa would be much more difficult for Moscow. Some argue even that Russia is seeking for a large naval base in Tobruk, but I doubt that this is true, keeping the poor condition of the Russian aircraft carrier and the nuclear cruiser in mind, and even more important, the existence of another, albeit a little bit smaller, naval base in Tartus, Syria. So altogether, with regard to the look on the south of Africa, I would call Libya of critical importance for Russia's Africa strategy.
Moscow has been trying to position itself as an ally to African countries and managed to ink military cooperation agreements with at least 19 African countries since 2014, according to the Council on Foreign Relations. Russia also backed a string of military coups in recent years and now is replacing Wagner Group with the African Legion. What should the US and the European allies do to counter that threat?
Well, they could try to deal with Russia's gateway to Africa. One option would be to urge Khalifa Haftar to kick the Russians out of Libya. But keeping the significance of the Russian support to the Libyan National Army in mind, I would say this is rather difficult to achieve. Their military support, in part still through Wagner for the time being, is really of critical importance for the LNA. They provide the backbone for operating the LNA's MiG-29 fighter jets and of the Sukhoi 24 bomber fleet, including pilots, technicians, logistic support, and training. I would rule out that the United States or anyone else in the West is able, let alone ready, to replace the Russians in this capacity. Another option is kinetic targeting of Russian key assets in Libya with military means, just short of an open military intervention. Actually, in the last year, in May, June, and December, a couple of Russian Ilyushin 76 transport aircraft were destroyed on the ground in Al-Jufrah and Al-Khadim by, let's say, unknown combat drones. But while this is certainly painful for the Russians, this is not decisive. A successful, lasting countering of the Russian mercenary operations must take place in the sub-Saharan region, exactly there where those Russians operate.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, on an African tour, pitched the United States as a better security partner for Africa in place of Russia's Wagner mercenary group, which was accused of exploiting coup-hit and conflict-hit nations in the continent Sahel region. He said, "You see the exploitation of people and resources by mercenaries. It is important that we have been working to support our partners who are trying to find effective ways of fighting insecurity." What's your take on that?
Russian mercenaries have certainly some advantages for those countries. They don't urge for elections and democracy. They don't ask questions about human rights. They don't organize seminars and workshops about gender rights and the international law. But they are there for high-risk war fighting. However, the military support provided by them is frequently less sophisticated than what is offered by the West, especially with regards to intelligence. And Biden is right. Very costly. Furthermore, as the Russians rely almost exclusively on military means, they don't offer the comprehensive solutions required to stabilize these crisis areas. Of course, one could argue the comprehensive support provided by the Americans and the West was also not very successful in the past. I would say probably it is necessary for the West to rethink the way how to support fragile countries, offering attractive packages more focused on the concrete requirements without demanding too much from them and without applying double standards with regards to what is acceptable to the West and what isn't.